a very direct, real, and present impact on anybody who's doing any kind of solidarity work just about anywhere in any organization or any kind. Not just in the sense that
the shock of who it was. The reality is, I don't actually want to sit here.
Well, this is the thing. The government's saying, you know, I mean, the courts are going to say, the government says they're investigating,
how can somebody, pick up flyers for X, Y, or Z
activity, or they're
to go to all of these meetings, which, you know,
link to terrorism,
we don't do it because it's glamorous
whatever,
or fun.
The courts are going to say probably that they have a right to do that investigation.
Out of my tax dollars.
The question is, though, when it becomes a question of
people's First
Amendment rights, freedom of association, freedom of speech,
say that they believe the same things that I feel so passionate about.
I think it's
about,
different, but the problem is,
come to all
this,
these meetings
this,
for every
this
day
decision
that I
in the
do countless hours
law project
of work
case,
for
yes,
the
it is.
The fact is, this person did that because they got a paycheck.
But anyways, no, really,
and
I mean, we
got to
look at some of these cases regarding
exercises of freedom of speech.
I was involved in a civil case involving organizations that we think are saying that they were made in some place, but they support
to
Muslim organizations around the
country.
And like we heard, what they're talking about there. Was, you know, that's one thing I
saying
is that you gave money to
Obama
says, you know, I work for the ANC,
and the government says, well, that hospital
is affiliated with
apartheid.
Well,
it's on our list
if that's the case, he broke the law. The government will come back and say,
well,
yes,
there's
like, you know,
a lot of people
his Justice Department,
who
you are freeing them up to then do money, their money, you don't have to use for the hospital. As long as they can say that they have a legitimate and terrorist investigation going on,
make a bomb,
I have to say to me, the buck stops here.
Yes,
it could go after any of us, but our strategy is, and it's not just to defend myself and the difficult, but really it is a strategy to defend our movement, to say, in this case, we are going to make an example of this case.
Help people plant
the certainly they could try to make an example,
but
we're absolutely going
to make an
example.
Who was the person money?
Our case is an example of how people
was the informant.
Aren't
was the guy who was head of the security
bomb
or something. You know,
an example of how
they don't even make
it
difficult
and
to say
silence.
You know,
and I have to say, I think
how to stop
this. Misty asked us earlier to talk about anonymous,
and
what I was thinking about is constituents in California who were subpoenaed and sent to a grand jury after engaging in a protest disrupting an Israeli official.
Like the work they're doing, or you.
And they've taken the same stand as
us.
Now, I haven't got a chat with them yet. I don't know if our activities have not been coordinated in that way. But
should be protected.
But I absolutely, I have to believe
that
our example has been an important one to them.
But people are worried that anything like that will
be then considered
coordination of your activities with that group
of Dr. Ashkar here
in
Chicago. He
and
refused
be prosecuted
to. He's the one
that
that's serving 11 years.
We, like I said,
on contempt.
We haven't
for
seen
not
any indictments
testifying.
Yet. Once we
he
see
said,
"I
will not
we'll
testify
exactly
against
what
my
the
own
case
liberation
the government
struggle
has and what they're focusing
and
on." But it also
could
be the same issues.
There's nothing I could hold higher in esteem than that stance. And
which
it's,
they're
going to
say is coordinating your activities.
I think that if the government is not able to get us to testify against each other,
I think
isn't able to get us to turn on each other and start wondering who the cop in the room is.
Holder versus humanitarian law.
And if we
kind of
demonstrate
here,
that it's a failure,
to see what
this strategy
and how
won't
far
work,
they can get away
then
with.
They'll stop using it, or at least it's the best shot we have. Certainly we can look at options in the courts or in the legislative process, and we should. But our approach is to see our case in this moment as our test case. And so that's how I would respond to that question.
And with that, I just want to say a couple of things, and then we'll close this section. We'll go on, and there will be more discussion like this going on. But I just want to say that really the efforts that everyone has been putting in this city, in the Midwest, and around the country to stand up to this FBI repression, to this attack on our sisters and brothers, to this attack on our movements has been amazing. Our fight back has been strong, it has been clear, and it has been fierce. Within days of the first raids, there were protests in over 60 cities around the country, and then protests again, and then protests again.
Yes, it is.
And on January 25th. When
but anyways, no, really. I mean, we got to look at some of these cases regarding Muslim organizations.
There were protests in over 50 cities around the country.
I was involved in a civil case where they were sued for
the world,
saying that they were giving support to Muslim organizations around a list of terrorist organizations. And so what they're talking about there was they, what they're saying is that if you give, say you gave money to a hospital,
numerous emergency actions,
and the government says, well, that hospital is affiliated with this particular organization that's on our list of terrorist organizations, the government will come back and say, yes, by doing that,
amazing, and it has
you are
to go
freeing
on
them
level.
Up
finally,
to then
I
do
just want to say
money
to
use their money, which they have to use
if
for
you
the hospital,
want to stand to,
to
show
go out
who
and involve, get involved in terrorist activities
and I just
or
say thank
make
you
a bomb
to
or whatever.
All of you for taking the
so
stance
that's
that
what the
you
government
are,
says. That's
refusing
their position
to be a part of this witch hunt and
their
guiding us forward
to do that.
In this
so,
precedent.
I mean, that's what's so terrible about
history.
This
so
law.
Thank you so
I mean, this court decision, I should say, because, you know, like I said, you could give to a hospital. Like you said, you go and help people to plant and they grow food. Well, they could come back and say, yeah, now these people are growing food.
Since
they don't have to buy it. So they can give money to this organization they work with or whatever. Make
a
bomb or something. So that
so,
even though they don't even
so
they don't even make
I'll
one.
Just briefly come up to
and
here
so that's
and
the situation.
Just very very quickly, in the words of one of the seven Palestinians who was subpoenaed recently, in her words she said, "I wouldn't want to be in that boat, but I'm in that boat now," and she said, "And I could not have asked for a better group of people."
I don't know what she can do about it.
So it is my and everyone's honor here to call up.
I'm going
to
sit here.
Maureen Murphy.
Well, this is the thing. The government's saying, you know,
Katrina
I mean, the government says they're investigating.
Come up just for a moment and get some brave recognition.
Terrorist activity or they're investigating material linked to terrorism.
Kelly.
Or whatever,
Smith,
the courts are going to say
Jess
probably
Sundin,
that they have a right to do that investigation.
Sarah Martin,
the question is, though, when it becomes
Tracy
a question Long. Of people's First Amendment rights, freedom of association,
there's
freedom
others
of speech,
of us, but for now,
I think it's different. But the problem
this
is,
moment,
this,
let's
with this,
say
with this decision and the Humanitarian Law Project case, we're moving farther
with
to the right.
Courage
and
of
it's
going to
be difficult
Stephanie Weiner.
For people to... I think to exercise their freedom of speech and First
Brave
Amendment rights in situations
one and
involving
all
organizations.
And
we think they're doing good work maybe someplace, but they
boat.
Say they're amidst the terrorist organizations. Like we heard the whole thing about the ANC, you know, that's one thing when I've talked before, I've said, well, look at Obama says, you know, I worked for the ANC and I supported the ANC and I was against apartheid. Well, if that's the case, he broke the law. But now, you know, his Justice Department is going after these activists. So
23
as long as they can say that it's they have a legitimate investigation going on, they have probable cause to believe that there may be some illegal conduct happening, the courts are probably going to say they have a right to investigate that. It's difficult, though, because here's this a person who's part of the organization. I don't know. It seems to me that they were making statements for the organization. You have to look, too. Look at going back to the whole thing with the Black Panthers, like Fred Hampton here. Who was the person who was the informer, was the guy who was head of the security? You know, and so it's difficult to say, you know, how to stop this because the courts are going to, I think most cases, they're going to uphold their right to do an investigation. And so it's difficult.
It seems to me that these actions are a very direct, real, and present attack on anybody who is doing any kind of solidarity work just about anywhere, in any organization, in any context. Not just in the sense that an injury to one is an injury to all, but in the sense that we all have to be worried, I mean really worried, about whether we are going to be the next people to have to turn over all our boxes of papers to the FBI? Are we going to be the next people we have to get lawyers? Are all our friends going to be? Is anybody coming to any meeting that we organize going to have their name on the sign-up sheet in the hands of the feds and get calls asking and people coming to their workplace asking them if they're terrorists? This is chilling our activities, our free speech activities directly right now. And so my question is, since the Supreme Court and the Holder decision sort of left a window and said, we'll see how this works out with the free speech activities. We won't rule on it right now. But we now see how it does work out. Would there be any merit in organizing a class action suit by every activist imaginable against the government demanding that they cease and desist any kind of investigations like this, which are impeding our ability to carry out our free speech activities?
I mean, first of all, there's actually been a lot of people beginning to realize the extent of the surveillance on people's movements that's happening in this period right now. And we've started to find each other through the activities that we've done to defend ourselves. I have to say, to me, the buck stops here. Yes, they could go after any of us, but our strategy, and it's not just to defend myself and the other 23 people, but really it is a strategy to defend our movements, to say, in this case, we are going to make an example of this case. Certainly, they could try to make an example of the case, but we're absolutely going to make an example of this case. Our case is an example of how people aren't going to cooperate with these investigations, an example of how people aren't going to be intimidated and silenced by them. And I have to say, I think Misty asked us earlier to talk about Anonymous, and what I was thinking about is the students in California who were subpoenaed and to a grand jury after engaging in a protest, disrupting an Israeli official, Palestine Solidarity students. And they've taken the same stand as us. Now, I haven't had a chat with them yet. I don't know if our activities have not been coordinated in that way. But I have to believe that our example has been an important one to them in considering what they should do. But it's also, we're not the first. The case of Dr. Ashkar here in Chicago, he's the one that's serving 11 years on contempt for not testifying. He said, I will not testify against my own liberation struggle. And there's nothing I could hold higher in esteem than that stance, and I'm trying to repeat it. I think that if the government is not able to get us to testify against each other, isn't able to get us to turn on each other and start wondering who the cop in the room is, and if we demonstrate that it's a failure, that this strategy won't work, then they'll stop using it, or at least it's the best shot we have. Certainly we can look at options in the courts or in the legislative process, and we should. But our approach is to see our case in this moment as our test case. And so that's how I would respond to that question.
And with that, I just want to say a couple of things and then we'll close this section. We'll go on and there'll be more discussion like this going on. But I just want to say that really, the efforts that everyone has been putting in this city, in the Midwest, and around the country to stand up to this FBI repression, to this attack on our sisters and brothers, to this attack on our movements has been amazing. Our fight back has been strong, it has been clear, and it has been fierce. Within days of the first raids, there were protests in over 60 cities around the country, and then protests again, and then protests again. And on January 25th, when these sisters and brothers in Chicago were supposed to go before the grand jury, there were protests in over 50 cities around the country, 4 cities around the world, and we have sent 3 delegations and met with hundreds of congresspeople in Washington, D.C. We have had numerous emergency actions. We have had numerous call-ins to the the upper ranks, Obama, Holder, all of them. So the work has been just amazing, and it has to go on at this level. And finally, I just want to say to the sisters and brothers, if you want to stand to show who all in this room is being subpoenaed, please do. And I just want to say thank you to all of you for taking the stands that you are, refusing to be a part of this witch hunt and guiding us forward in this precedent-setting moment in history. So thank you so much. Please.
Since we're such honest people, to ask them to stand during a standing ovation was a little bit of a mixed message. So I think I'll just briefly come up to here and just very, very quickly, in the words of one of the seven Palestinians who was subpoenaed recently, in her words, she said, "I wouldn't want to be in that boat. But I'm in that boat now." And she said, "And I could not have asked for a better group of people to be in that boat." So it is my and everyone's honor here to call up Steph Yorick, Maureen Murphy, Katrina Plotz, to come up just for a moment and get some brave recognition. Joe Osbaker, Mick Kelly, Sarah Smith, Jess Sundin, Sarah Martin, come up for the Tracy Mom. There's others of us, but for now, just for this moment, let's say we are proud to be in the boat with the courage of conviction, yes. Stephanie Weiner. Brave one and all, 23 united in that boat.
The people united will never be defeated. The people.